Ride along each week as we share proven strategies to strengthen your business, energize your team, and create the business success you've been dreaming about. And now, here's your host, Rich Allen.
Do you focus more time and attention helping your team get better or identifying where they're falling short? Welcome to the Ultimate Business Tune-Up Podcast, where our one and only goal is to help you tune up your business so you can have the long-lasting success and fulfillment that comes from owning a solid, profitable, and sustainable business. Each week, we dive deep into a single topic related to improving your business, improving your team engagement, or improving your relationship with your customers. This week, I want to focus on a pet peeve I have with many business owners and senior leaders: how we perceive our role in providing performance feedback. That's why my question today is, do you focus more time and attention helping your team get better or identifying where they're falling short? Truth be told, the reason I picked this topic for today's podcast is because I got a very frustrating and disturbing phone call from one of my clients a couple of weeks ago. Let me give you a bit of a backstory. This client was a senior manager who recently had been promoted. He's very talented and has a proven track record of success. In fact, in his prior position, his department had been identified as one of the top 100 operations of its type in the country. No small feat, and one that required not only just his strong leadership, but the active engagement and involvement of his entire team, something he took pride in helping make happen. Not long after his team was recognized for their accomplishment, his boss announced his plan to retire, and he was the hands-down top pick to replace him. They went through a 3-month transition period, and as his retiring boss left to spend his retirement on a beach somewhere, he assumed responsibility for an organization 3 times as large as his prior team. All was going well, and he was learning the details of his new position. It wasn't without some challenges: more people to manage, new processes to learn, expanded budgets to control, and more direct contact with their most important customers. But this manager was up to the challenge, and I was confident he was making solid progress. Then, as a result of some changes at the top of the organization, he was assigned to a new vice president. While this new VP was inexperienced and somewhat unfamiliar with this manager's business, they wanted to show their boss that they had what it takes to lead and to hold people accountable. So within a couple of months of assuming the VP position, they presented my client with a 3-page written document outlining the many shortcomings and deficiencies in their business, along with a deadline to fix the problems or risk termination within the next 3 weeks. As you can imagine, my client was devastated. While he had had some meetings and discussion with his new boss, there was never any indication that things were not progressing as expected. He knew he was still on a steep learning path, but was putting in time and effort to gain understanding, get his team in alignment, and produce the results that he knew would be expected. Then, out of nowhere, comes a scathing rebuke and a no-discussion, drop-dead deadline for his compliance. And to make matters worse, his CEO met with him to let him know that he always had the right or option to resign rather than comply with the conditional deadline. Are you kidding me? From best in the country, to being promoted, to being rebuked and defamed, all within a matter of months. Was this a case of a manager falling down on the job? Or was this a case of the leaders not recognizing what their primary role is? If you can't tell, I'm of the opinion that this is a case of the senior-most leaders not having a clue what their primary role is in the organization. And while I've shared a lot of details about this particular case, I'm sorry to say that I see a similar pattern far too often when it comes to providing performance feedback to team members or subordinate leaders. Somehow, the idea of providing performance feedback has been translated into bringing down the hammer or demonstrating who has the authority, or what I have come to despise, holding them accountable. Let me suggest, a leader cannot hold someone else accountable. It's not a thing. They can hold themselves accountable, but they can't hold others accountable. As a leader, your job is to clearly articulate your performance expectations in such a way that there's no question about what's expected. As a leader, your job is to remove the barriers to others being successful. As a leader, your job is to encourage, inspire, and create an environment where individuals will take ownership for their actions, decisions, and their results. Until and unless you've been successful in these three areas, as a leader, you haven't earned the right to suggest disciplinary action or potential termination. Do you have the position power to do that? Sure, but that doesn't make it right. In fact, I'd suggest that if you're the senior-most leader in your business and you haven't clearly articulated your performance standards, removed any and all barriers to success, and created an environment where everyone will take ownership for their actions, decisions, and results, the responsibility for poor performance lies with you, not with anyone else on your team. So to help you prepare for providing legitimate performance feedback, let me suggest you do a few things. First, set some time aside to write down the specific performance expectations you have for those who report directly to you. These should include your non-negotiables, those behaviors that you expect from anyone in your organization, which you should have documented some time ago. If you're not certain about your non-negotiables, go back to the episode I published on August 12, 2022, titled Team Performance Standards, and give it a listen. In addition to your non-negotiables, the performance expectations for each individual on your team should include the details that are found in each person's position agreement. Again, if you're not familiar with position agreements, you can go back and listen to the podcast episode I published on October 7th of 2022, where I covered the details on how to structure these critical documents for each person on your team. Secondly, schedule time weekly to meet one-on-one with each of your direct reports. These meetings should be used to accomplish two specific things. Number one, to review and discuss the primary goals and objectives that you have assigned to each individual. My experience has been that you can get a lot accomplished in your business if you have two or three specific objectives or outcomes you need and want each of your direct reports to focus their attention on. And the number two purpose of your weekly meetings should be to ask, explore, and discuss any barriers that your direct reports need your assistance in removing in order for them to be successful. If you're not asking whether there are any barriers or digging into the barriers that are identified, then you're not fulfilling one of your key roles as a leader. And thirdly, establish a weekly cadence of reporting, sharing, and taking ownership by every function, team, and individual in your business. If you're not familiar with this concept, I'd recommend you read the book, The Four Disciplines of Execution by Sean Covey. It outlines the fundamental principles and actions necessary to create a culture of extreme ownership throughout any organization. It's my go-to methodology when working with small business teams who want to accomplish extraordinary results. There's your homework. Document and share your performance expectations, meet one-on-one weekly with your direct reports, and apply the four disciplines of execution in your business. If you do these three things, and one of your leaders either doesn't get it or can't perform, then you've done the work necessary to give tough, direct performance feedback. There will be no question from anyone on your team that you've not set the table for success before dropping the hammer on someone. On the other hand, if you don't do these three things, you can be sure that the response you'll get from applying heavy-handed discipline is bewilderment, disbelief, disengagement, and ultimately quitting on the job. Don't be that leader. Rather, be the kind of leader who seeks to make everyone on your team better and more successful. Your business will be stronger, and you'll be viewed as a strong, confident leader who others want to serve and support. As always, if you have specific questions or would like to bounce around some thoughts on this topic, please don't hesitate to reach out and ask. Leaders who understand their role as a coach, mentor, and guide for their team find that their team members would do anything to support them. And those who don't get it struggle to get commitment, dedication, and maximum effort from those around them. Thanks for sharing this podcast episode with your fellow business owners. You may know a business owner or senior leader who needs to hear this message. Please do me and them a favor and share this episode with them. Thanks for joining me today. Be sure to tune in next week when we're going to discuss establishing vendor standards. You won't want to miss it. Meanwhile, if you have a question, suggestion, or would simply like to connect, shoot me an email at rich@tourtoprofit.com. Now go make it a great week, and whatever you do, ride hard.
Thank you for listening to the Ultimate Business Tune-Up. Make sure you subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes. In the meantime, find more resources at tourtoprofit.com and connect with Rich by sending a message to rich@tourtoprofit.com. Until next time, ride hard.